Are you ready? It's time for On the Double with the Double S Express. Great sports talk and big time guests with Sean Wally and Sean Boyd. On the Double with the Double S Express.
Welcome, everybody, to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally going solo tonight. Sean Boyd on assignment in Miami, Florida. Yes, you heard me correctly. Miami, Florida. Big thing Sean Boyd is doing in the Sunshine State. A whirlwind 36 hours for Mr. Boyd, and he's doing good things in the Sunshine State. And he will definitely be back with us next week as I try to man this ship solo here tonight. But what can you say? Super Bowl week is here. Super Bowl week is upon us. Both the Denver Broncos and the Seattle Seahawks have safely made it to the New York, New Jersey area. And have you seen the Empire State Building here this evening, tonight on the East Coast, where it is just aglow in Bronco and Seahawk colors? Definite great sight for fans of both teams and a great sight for anybody going to Super Bowl 48 at MetLife Stadium. And everybody talks about the weather, which, of course, the weather may very well be a factor. And on the one hand, you've got people that say, you know, it's football, it's an outdoor sport, weather should be a factor. You've got other people that think, you know, it should be in a warmer climate and or an indoor stadium to where weather's not a factor and the true talents of the teams can play out. But you know what? Since these guys were kids, the Peyton Mannings, the Richard Shermans, the Eric Deckers, back and forth, Russell Wilsons, Marshawn Lynch, no Sean Moreno, even to the coaches, Pete Carroll, John Fox, these guys played football from the time they were, you know, in Pop Warner all the way through high school, college, and now to the pros. And the majority of their life, they spent playing the game outdoors. They spent dealing with the elements. The only element they don't deal with, the only weather they don't deal with, for the most part, is lightning. And that's definitely not going to happen here on Sunday, if the game is Sunday, hopefully. There's not too much snow expected, so hopefully they will not move the game. And that's another issue. Do they move the game? What's the deadline to move the game? And if they do, which way do they move it? Of course, as fans, we probably want it moved to Saturday or maybe Friday at the worst. You know, you don't really want it moved to Monday because most people have to get back to work and get back to their lives. But a lot of Super Bowl fans take Monday off anyway, and there's a ton of people that think Monday should be a holiday. Monday after the Super Bowl, I should say. And it's pretty interesting to know that the NFL has all these different contingency plans in place to see what's going to happen. And, you know, what if it snows early? What if it snows late? What if, you know, their issue is not on the field. They're not worried about what's going to happen on the field at MetLife Stadium. Underneath the field, it's heated. So the field's not going to get too treacherous for those players out there. They're worried about the 60, 70, 80, 100,000 people or more that are trying to get to MetLife Stadium. You know, because more people are going to be around the stadium tailgating, throwing parties, having a blast, just wanting to soak it all in. They don't have a ticket to get into the game because, as we'll find out later, it's about, you know, $500, $600, $700, $800 face value for one ticket. Not a lot of people want to pony up for that. Of course, everybody wants to and wants to go, but there's quite a few less that actually will and can actually seriously justify it monetarily. But hey, it's the Super Bowl, the biggest sporting event, the biggest spectacle in the sports world in the U.S., and you could argue the world. Millions of fans all across not only the United States, but the entire world watched this game. On average, 56 million people watched last Sunday. Two Sundays back when the AFC Championship was played and the NFC Championship was played. You know, football is just an amazing sport. that the world definitely loves. And it's just ironic to think that the NFL is in New York. The championship game, for the first time, is coming to the outskirts of New York across the Hudson River from Manhattan. And now we've got Super Bowl 48 with two contrasting quarterbacks. You've got Peyton Manning, 37 years old, trying to get yet another ring, breaking all kinds of records at 37 years old this season, throwing an unsurmountable, unconceivable amount of touchdown passes here in 2013. And he said to ESPN's Chris Mortensen, he doesn't think he has peaked yet. Was that just a little bit of kibosh from Manning, a little bit of comedy as Peyton Manning tore up Saturday Night Live back in the day? Or was he really serious? Is he so great that he thinks he can be even better than he's been? If that is possible, if he can do better than he did here in 2013, where he broke all kinds of records, that'll be absolutely amazing. And Peyton Manning will be cemented in stone as the best quarterback to ever play in the National Football League, bar none, hands down. And then on the other side of the field, you've got Russell Wilson, Seattle's quarterback, only in his second season. Just remarkable what this kid has done. Coming into the league, drafted in the third round, played for both NC State and Wisconsin, with a little stint in minor league baseball in between. Doesn't lose at home. He's lost one game in the previous 3 years at home, and that goes back to his final season of college eligibility playing with the Wisconsin Badgers. It's remarkable how Russell Wilson wins. He makes players around him better, and all he does is win games, and he does whatever it takes to win that ballgame. Stats don't matter. Ask Russell. Ask his head coach, Pete Carroll. The stat line does not matter. If you throw for 500 yards and three touchdowns but lose, so what? You throw for 200, one, maybe two touchdowns, and you win the game, which is better? The W in the end is what is desired in Seattle, and that is what has propelled the Seattle Seahawks to Super Bowl 48. Is nobody cares about the stat sheet in Seattle. Nobody cares about fantasy football. And I know all the fantasy football fanatics out there, and I have to admit, I'm one of them. I have multiple teams every year. And it was tough this year because I did draft Russell Wilson thinking he would have a bigger year. But he did throw for 26 touchdowns, which is still a very good number in NFL standards. Maybe not to Peyton Manning and his standards, what he's setting here in 2013, but definitely a winning formula in Seattle that, barring injury or barring something crazy with the salary cap, which GM John Snyder has done very well with, and he's going to be tested here in the years to come when the contracts of Richard Sherman, Russell Wilson come up, and he has to figure out how to keep these guys without mortgaging the future. And that's going to be the key for Seattle to figure out if they can maintain this upward tick and see if they can be dominant for years to come. And then maybe in 2 or 3 years, we can talk about the other D word, which is dynasty. And once again, if you're just joining us, Sean Boyd, not with us tonight. He is on assignment in Miami, Florida. A big whirlwind 36-hour trip for Sean Boyd, doing good things down in Miami for sure. Getting some good sunshine, seeing some blue waters. It's got to be a nice thing here in the middle of winter. I know a lot of the country is cold and icy and snowy, as definitely the New York, New Jersey area is, and that's what they're talking about and wondering about for Super Bowl Sunday. A big show here tonight for show 37 here of On the Double with the Double S Express, as we have a plethora of big-time guests tonight. Big-time guest number one, we're waiting to hop on the lines, is Adrian Ross, former NFL football player, Cincinnati Bengals, Colorado State University, 6 years with the Bengals. And then later in the show, we will get to Jake Olson and McKay Christensen. They have co-authored a book called Open Your Eyes. And you can find their website and all the information on their book and how to order their book at openyoureyes.org, openyoureyes.org. Jake is a phenomenal 16-year-old teenager, is a long snapper for his high school football team in California. And the amazing thing, there's many, many amazing things, but just so remarkable, Jake has battled cancer and lost his eyesight to it, yet he still thrives, still is very, very happy, and helps people find that happiness in life. Just an amazing story we'll get to later on in the hour here on the Double with the Double S Express, show 37. And who can not be ready for Super Bowl 48? I know I already talked about it, touched on it, but there's so many avenues, so many angles. The stories, the teams, the Seahawks, the Broncos, former rivals in the AFC West. You know, I'm up here in the Pacific Northwest in Washington, and of course, everybody's wanting to bring back the Bronco Buster shirts from the 80s. And it is just incredible that these two teams with, you know, somewhat of a similar yet rocky path to the Super Bowl and a similar past for sure. And here they are, the Denver Broncos, having so many trials and tribulations with their head coach, John Fox, having health issues, so many injuries on the both sides of the football for the Broncos. And they've overcome so much here in 2013. And it's good, setting up to be a very great game. And Super Bowl 48 being in New York, so many people watching. It is definitely a spectacle. And let's head out to the holysmoke.com phone lines and welcome in big-time guest number one, Adrian Ross, former NFL linebacker with the Cincinnati Bengals. Adrian, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. How you doing?
Good, man. Thanks so much for hopping on with us. And, man, a six-year linebacker with the Cincinnati Bengals, and you went to Colorado State University. What would you give to be playing in a Super Bowl?
Boy, oh boy. Darn it. Well, I'm not married, but I was going to say my wife, but I give up anything to be in that bowl, you know, playing for the Bengals for all those years. We never even smelt the playoffs. So, you know, to actually, you know, have a season where you can make it all the way there, you know, I know what it takes. And, you know, just like how you said, as far as, you know, guys is having to step up and guys being hurt. You know, it's a long grind to finally get there. You know, for both of those teams.
Adrian, what do you think it's like this week for members of the Broncos, the Seahawks? A lot of the guys, especially on Seattle's team, have never sniffed the Super Bowl. Nobody on the roster has played in the Super Bowl. And, you know, a lot of the young guys, too, on the Broncos have the same issue. Do you think they'll be able to zone in and once the ball is kicked off to start the game, that everything will just, all the rest of it, the media hype, the family issues, the fan hype will go away and it'll get down to football? Or do you think some people will get caught up in the hype that is Super Bowl week?
I mean, I think both of it. I think that, you know, like I said, Seattle doesn't have anybody. Denver, Peyton Manning's been there. You have a staff with Fox has been there. And, I mean, from what I always heard and from what I've heard guys talk about it, you know, I mean, it's just utter chaos as far as I just look at just when I was playing and just coming home to the Bay Area and going to, you know, playing against the Raiders and, you know, spending $5,000 on tickets. You know, just for friends and family that are in the area. So, you know, Super Bowl, I always hear that's the biggest problem is just dealing with tickets. Just the tickets alone, like not even, you know, mind the media. You know, but hopefully the coaches, you know, get both the guys, I mean, get both teams are together as far as handle that early and then get off of it. But, of course, there's always those guys that, you know, don't get that much playing time. It's going to be, you know, wanting to be out there and the like. But I think both of these teams have shown that they can focus in.
Adrian Ross joining us on the double with the Double S Express. Adrian, Super Bowl 48, the Broncos, the Seahawks, the top offense in the league in the Broncos, the top defense in the league with the Seattle Seahawks. How do you see this game turning out?
Oh, man, put me on the spot, huh? This is for the first time I'm really just stooped. I mean, I have, you know, I'm obviously a defensive guy and I love defense. I think defense wins championships, but you know, you have the number one offense, number one defense, but the new look Bronco defense has kind of surprised me. I didn't expect them to shut down the run like they did against the Patriots, and so that's like they're kind of an X factor for me. I really didn't expect them to play as well as they have with Von Miller being out, especially you know, Champ coming back into the lineup. But you know, I guess when you have 18 on up, you know, up on the other side of the ball, makes guys play a different way. But that Seattle defense, that secondary up front, getting after the passer, Bobby Wagner in the middle. I guess I'm going to stay riding out with the defense and you know, picking that upset and going with the LOB, the Legion of Boom.
I was thinking a defensive guy, you know, you probably should stay on that side, or you might hear it from some of those, you know, defenders you played with, or even, you know, current Seahawks that are playing D and be like, what's up, man? You were linebacker your whole life, and now we're looking at you're picking the offense. But as of now, you're sticking with the D.
I'm staying with the D. Yes, sir.
Adrian Ross with us here on the double with the Double S Express. Adrian, what was the biggest change going from Colorado State University to the Cincinnati Bengals?
Well, the biggest change for me was how I looked at football. You know, always growing up, you know, guys always say, oh, man, if I could ever make it and if I could just play football and work out all the time and then just play, and that's exactly what the pros are. But you didn't know that you had all those meetings all day and night, and it was a regular job, and that was a surprise to me, was signing and going to minicamp and thinking that it was going to be just like college. Like, okay, go out there, have a couple meetings, and then go out and practice. And then I saw the schedule, and it was like 8 o'clock, and we don't get out of here until 6. You know, that was the biggest surprise for me, was how much meeting time that you have, team meeting, defensive meeting, position meeting, special teams meeting, walkthrough, practice, come back in, lunch, more meetings, come back, go back out for a full practice. I think that, like, that's a lot of the things that, like, a lot of people don't realize, is how much you're actually meeting and practicing and watching film. You know, because, like, they're used to watching TV, and, you know, TV always shows, you know, like, it's just so kickback. You know, but it just became a job, and so I think that was the biggest thing for me. You know, a lot of people talk about the speed of the game, but I think when you're one of the better people that can actually make it to the NFL, I think you were already playing at that speed. So I don't really like to tell people that the speed of the game is different. Now, of course, it's going to be somewhat different because you're dealing with the best. You know, it's not like you're playing one team that has one good running back or a good quarterback. You know, everybody is the best of the best.
Adrian, with the change in your football life, going from college to the NFL, as you were talking about, so it's a lot more than just a two-hour practice and then leave for the day. There's obviously, you've got, as you're talking about, the workouts, the study, the meetings. And so what maybe people on the outside and the fans don't realize is it is more than that two-hour practice. So that was one of pretty much the biggest change of, as you were saying, it became a big job.
Yeah, I mean, just the job, and then like the accountability for it. You know, like you get to go over several plays in college. You know, you get to go over, okay, here's two defenses we're putting in, and you know, you might run it for a week, and then okay, they might add a blitz. In the pros, you're already coming in as a rookie, you're already behind because they're not really trying to they're trying to catch you up, but your catch-up time is after practice. It's either before or after. So the normal time is 8 to 5, 8 to 5:30. And then for all you rookies, you better get there before, and then you better stay after to try to catch up. And they're putting in plays like, you know, you're putting in like 10 defensive plays and 6 different blitzes, you know, right then and there on one day. And it's one thing to think that you actually know the play by just thinking about where you have to go, but then you have all the adjustments. If this guy comes in motion and he goes across the field, now you're out of the blitz and now you're going, or changes to this coverage. And that's why some of the best athletes that I've seen, they can't even grasp the concept. And you would be amazed at like how many guys on the pros that don't actually really know how to play football.
Adrian, how much of that do you think is people out of college that have let their physical ability take them to that level, but now you also have to add in the mental and you have to outthink everybody as well as outperform?
Well, I think a lot of guys. I think a lot of guys, and sometimes it doesn't help with, you know, being at a great team where, you know, like the old Florida States in back in the 90s. If you think back to those teams and you look at how good they were with Charlie Ward and how great they were on defense, but when you really think about it, how many guys, I mean, like, look at how many first, second, third round picks they had from those teams. But then other than Derek Brooks and maybe one other guy on the front line, like Peter Boulware, you know, like who from those teams really did anything? You know, actually compared to who they were in college. And, you know, yeah, there were a lot of great athletes, and then they were all like assembled on one team at one time. So it made that team great, but then when you broke them all apart, you know, like they all didn't turn out to be Deion. So I think it's really high, and that's why these teams spend hundreds of thousands of dollars, you know, scouting guys and scouting them and seeing them in different situations and trying to figure out, you know, who they want to invest in those high picks.
Adrian Ross joining us here on the Double with the Double S Express. Adrian, what is the biggest, if you could pinpoint a couple of things that would get a good college player to the next level to be able to be a pro in the NFL, what would that be?
For me, my advice to the young college guys trying to go pro would be to become a student of the game, all the way to their position, you know, to their selves of what they need. You know, because there's a lot of guys that have done it before you, and look at those that were successful and look at those that weren't. And, I mean, obviously, you have to have a you have to be able to work real hard without anyone telling you what to do. And that's what's hard for a lot of younger players too, is, you know, you always have this mom and dad telling you, and then you have coach in college telling you. And then when you get to that pro level, you know, there's a lot of being on your own, and you have to be responsible in yourself and in what you put in your body and the rest you get and the stretching and staying hydrated, staying out of trouble, all that all comes into play. You know, just staying away from trouble, obviously, because there's, yeah, you could have all the talent up in the world, and, you know, being in trouble, you're not going to be out there in the field. But just having a great work and smarts as far as just the core of being a great player, student of the game. You know, you see your Tony Gonzalez, your Peyton Mannings, you know, all these guys. I mean, like, Peyton is just one of the greatest puppeteers I've ever seen. It's like, that guy knows defenses more than he knows offense, darn near. You know, and, like, I don't think that they give him enough credit for that. You know, they talk about how great of a quarterback he is, but I don't think he's the best talented quarterback as far as arm strength. But you see that he's able, like, he knows where everyone's going to go, and he knows how to manipulate the defense into going where he wants them to go. But he doesn't have the arm strength like a Favre or a Rodgers, you know, where he's throwing bullets in there, but he doesn't have to because he's throwing the ball where he knows his guy's going to be.
Adrian Ross giving his insights on the NFL, former NFL linebacker, 6 seasons with the Cincinnati Bengals. Adrian, you're from the 916 Elk Grove High School, and if I'm correct, I believe you've moved back to the 916 and you're still in that area. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I stay in Sacramento. I'm a little bit north Sac now, not necessarily in the Elk Grove area, but not far away.
Okay. Well, my co-host, who is out on a business trip tonight, will have to have you on again. He is definitely from the 916 now. He's down in Elk Grove, and be great to get the 916 represented with both you guys on here one of these nights. And you're now into 3D Sports, a sports agent company. Why don't you talk about that a little bit and what you're doing these days?
Oh, yeah, I'm a certified contract advisor for the NFL. I represent players, you know, I do players' contracts that are going pro or either already pro, looking for new representation. And that's just negotiating their contract, players' contracts with the NFL team. I guess a lot of people like to say the Jerry Maguire type thing. I've been in that business for 6 years now. This is my first year actually being a certified contract advisor. It's just a process of just getting certified through the NFL Players Association. But, yeah, I've been in the business 6 years, so I know a lot of the players. I tried to get and didn't get, you know, you got your Kaepernicks out there, Bobby Wagner for Seattle, Richard Sherman for Seattle, Omar Bowden for the Broncos. You know, makes it fun to see, you know, guys that I actually tried to go after and get, and you know, to see which guys actually panned out and, you know, which guys didn't. And so it's good to see those guys out there. It would have been even better if they would have signed with me or the agency that I was working with at those times. But, you know, it's still good to see great football players come into the league now.
So what's harder, being an NFL player or learning about contracts in the NFL?
Probably being a player is harder. Contracts, especially now after the new collective bargaining agreement, it's pretty easy now. It's pretty slotted. You know, like now with the guys that come out, they're drafted. You know, like there's the rookie pool and the money, and it's either you're drafted or you're a free agent, you know, and everything is just set now. It's not how it used to be. You know, there's a little bit of play in there. Not as much play anymore. Everything is slotted, and they pretty much get what they can get. Now, when they become free, that's when you see the big. That's when you see the big numbers, and then there's a little bit more play within the contract. But it's still pretty much, you know, the standard. You know, like if you're the best, then of course your standard is going to be higher than the person that's getting paid the most in that position right now. So it's not. Not really that hard to me. I think being a pro player is a lot harder.
Adrian Ross, thanks so much for your time and your insight tonight. And people can follow you at Mad Backer, M-A-double-D Backer on Twitter. We appreciate your insight, and we'd love to have you on in the future.
I'd love to be on. Let me know.
Appreciate it. All right. We'll keep in touch for sure. Adrian Ross, thanks so much for your time tonight here on the Double with the Double S Express. And let's get out to a quick break and come back with big time guests number 2 and 2A waiting on the lines. We'll be right with you. You're listening to On the Double with the Double S Express.
Likes the inconvenience of car repairs. Not only do car repairs take time and money from you, but can you even trust your repair shop? Nate, Dave, and the team at Platinum Automotive Services in Tri-Cities, Washington are honest and trustworthy, and they take great care of your vehicle. From the basic oil change to full engine rebuilds, they do it all. Like the Platinum Automotive Services Facebook page for a shot at a free oil change. Platinum Automotive Services. Platinum service without the platinum price.
What's my image?
What's my image?
What's my image?
At Images Barbershop and Styles, you get the best cut, the best design, and the best styles in the Sacramento area. Plus the affordable price along with the fun, family-friendly atmosphere. You'll walk away with a look of satisfaction and the feeling of a new you. Do you have your image?
We have ours!
Images Barbershop and Styles, located at 10040 Bruceville Road, Elk Grove, California, Suite 140. For appointments, call 916-271-0218. That's Images Barbershop and Styles.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally and Sean Boy.
Standing in the Hall of Fame. Yeah. And the world's gonna know your name. Yeah. Cause you're better with the brush fade.
Yeah. Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally here on show 37, and I feel like I've joined a party line as I get to welcome in my co-host, Sean Boyd from Miami, Florida. Sean, thanks for tuning in and joining the program tonight.
Oh, man. Well, it sounds like we had a great first half of the show. Yeah, of course, down here in Miami, Florida, basking in a little bit more of the sunshine there. Man, it's great to be on the show, man. I tell you, I've been running ragged all day, and you know, this is what I want to do. This is where I'm at. And so, man, let me take a deep breath here, Sean Wally. I feel like I've just, like you're saying, I feel like I just jumped out of the phone booth here to get on.
Well, I'll let you take that deep breath as I welcome in big-time guest number 2 and 2A tonight, and let's welcome in Jake Olson and McKay Christensen. Guys, thanks so much for holding on the line tonight and joining us here on the HolySmokeNuts.com phone lines. And for those that don't know, Jake, you are 16 years old and you are in high school in California, and you are a long snapper for your high school football team, and you're doing that without eyesight. That is just incredible. Guys, thanks so much for joining the program tonight and welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having us on.
Pleasure to be here.
Are you 16 or 17? I believe you're 17 now. Is that correct?
No, I'm 16 still. If you ask me in 2 months, I'll have a different answer.
All right. So, Jake, your story is an awesome story. And I remember initially you were on SportsCenter with USC, and I remember Pete Carroll and the team down there having you at in their football camp, and some amazing things that you were doing as far as leading the team there. But now I hear that you're playing on the high school football team as a long snapper. So there's some great blessings going on there, man. Why don't you tell us how you've accomplished becoming a long snapper?
Yeah, we know USC was such a great experience. Just the grace that Coach Carroll showed me in that time of going blind and you know, the difficulties that came with that, and for him to bring me in and give me that grace was something that really helped me through it. And just growing up watching USC as a little kid, you know, with USC being so dominant, was really something that influenced my childhood, just to, you know, start loving the game of football. And so as I, you know, when middle school, you know, I played flag football, and, you know, and when I lost my sight, you know, I still played center, and it was kind of flag football, just having fun. And then as I, when I moved into high school, you know, it became tackle football, and guys were a lot bigger, and I just kind of felt that, number one, it kind of wasn't safe anymore, but number two is that there wasn't really a position anymore that I could really play that, you know, would be beneficial to my team. And so I took, you know, my freshman and sophomore year off, but after seeing kind of the guys play on Friday night, and, you know, a lot of my friends were on the football team, though I wasn't at the time, you know, seeing them hang out and the camaraderie between them really made me decide that, you know, I really need to get back on the field. And so I started thinking of positions that really would kind of suit, you know, being blind. Obviously, you know, a quarterback's not going to work, or a wide receiver, or anything like that. And so I resulted in a long snapper. And so I started practicing the summer before last season. And, you know, man, I sucked. I really did suck the first time. You know, I had never long snapped before. balls were not going right. They're wobbling, whatever you want to say. It was not a pretty sight, but I practiced really, really, really hard every day over the summer. I remember, you know, taking a vacation to Hawaii, and I'd be out on the hotel lawn long snapping and you know, in the rain. So it was a lot of hard practice, but it paid off, and this season was just great, being starting long snapper on varsity and being out there on the field helping my team.
Hey, Jake, so tell us a little bit about Coach Carroll. There's the feel-good story right now. Of course, the Seattle Seahawks are in New York as we speak, getting ready to play in the Super Bowl. Tell us about Coach Carroll and what type of a guy he is.
You know, Coach Carroll, it really is, you see what you get with him. One of the things that I, you know, always loved about him is he is a big kid. You know, he not much different than the players that he coaches. But the one thing I always really, really respected about Coach Carroll is that he loves he loves his players. He loves, you know, human beings with unconditional love. You know, you see him in the locker room talking to his players. You sit, you know, on Saturday night meetings before the game. And he's up there and he's pumping the guys up, and he has a genuine care for the guys. And I think that's why they react the way that they do to him, just because they know that they have a coach out there that wants them to play at their best potential, that's coaching them to play at their best potential, and is going to love them no matter what. And I think that's why the players react the way they do. And that's something that I really, 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 you know, took to heart when I was just watching him coach, because it is something truly special. You know, you get a lot of coaches up there that are kind of superficial. They just, you know, want their players to win. And, you know, if they're not, you know, it's something like, you know, kind of Bill Belichick, you know, just kind of hard-nosed football. But I guess it works for some players, but for me and for a lot of players, I guess USC and Seattle, they take to love and comfort, and they take that real well. So it is awesome to see how much he loves players and fans and just embraces it all.
Now, somebody that knows a lot about leadership and motivating people, players, and workers would be McKay Christensen, who is also here on the HolySmokedNuts.com phone lines. And McKay, you are co-author with Jake on your guys' book, Open Your Eyes, 10 Uncommon Lessons to Discover a Happier Life. McKay, how did you get involved in the book, and how did you meet Jake and decide this was the path to go?
Well, Jake and I were speaking at the same conference. And after I got a chance to meet Jake and meet his parents, I told him, Jake, your story and what you've learned from your life has to be told to the world. You just heard one simple lesson from Jake, and I hope every high school athlete, every aspiring middle-aged golfer like myself was listening to what Jake said. I mean, he just said, look, I found a way to get on the team. I wanted to be on this football team. I found a way, and I was lousy at first, I didn't let the mistakes stop me. I didn't let the fact that I wasn't skilled when I first went on the field at this position stop me. I worked at it, worked at it, worked at it. And now look at it. One of the most premier football programs in Southern California, Jake, is the starting long snapper. And I wouldn't be surprised if he long snapped in on a college football team someday without sight. I mean, just the lessons that Jake teaches us by how he lives his life are amazing. And I just felt like they needed to be told. And that's why we teamed up to write this book together.
And I would assume that something this amazing and heartfelt was very easy to tell in a book.
Oh, it was. We didn't have enough pages to tell all of the stories and all of the great lessons that you can take from Jake and just his uncommon faith and how he and his family have approached life. I mean, if you can imagine at age 12, losing your eyesight. And for most people, that would stop them, and they would just say, you know, I'm going to be blind for the rest of my life. I'm going to be doomed, and I might as well just take it and accept it. Since Jake lost his eyesight, his life has soared. He's done amazing things. He's not only been on ESPN, but he's an excellent golfer and on his high school golf team without sight. And I wouldn't be surprised if he's a professional on the PGA Tour someday. He's that good. He's written a book, and he speaks to people around the earth. So yeah, it was easy. The lessons from Jake's life were easy to fill the pages of this book, and they're inspiring to read.
McKay and Jake, kind enough to join us on the Double with the Double S Express. That Jake is an avid golfer, and so having a chance to follow Jake around, what are some lessons that you've learned, you know, in life? I know that you'd mentioned a few that we all can learn, but what are some things that you've learned personally as far as moving forward in your life?
Well, probably the biggest thing that I've learned from Jake is this: bad things, hard things, difficult things, and mistakes will happen to us in life. It is just that simple. It will happen. But what really matters is how we react to those mistakes and what we do with those mistakes. And we titled this book, Open Your Eyes, and it's really a metaphor because Jake visualizes and sees himself doing these amazing things and then proceeds to do it. An interesting study just a few years back at the University of Wisconsin, they tested bowlers. And in this test, the bowlers bowled, and then they divided them into two groups. So one group was replayed the images of what they did wrong, and the other group was shown the images of what they did well. And then they went out and bowled another game, and they took their scores, and they averaged them. Well, those that were shown the positive images scored on average 11 pins higher in that last bowling game. And that's just a simple example of some of the things that Jake has taught me, that when you can see yourself moving past your mistakes, your hardships, your difficulties, and you act with faith, whether it's on the sports field or in life, great things will happen.
Jake, one question for you. If you were in Coach Carroll's shoes right now, of course, we all know what's been going on the past week and a half, and you know, a little bit of adversity given to the Seahawks, and I'm believing that you are rooting for the Seattle Seahawks this next weekend in the Super Bowl. What type of advice would you give the team as far as preparing for this weekend's game?
Well, you know, they definitely have a lot of principles in there. A lot of actually principles that come back to my book, our book, and it's quite funny. But one thing that I really like to tell, you know, teams before, especially before going into games, is to have resilience. You know, each team, especially in this type of caliber of game where you got the two best teams coming into the big Super Bowl here, that you know, there are going to be tough times out there. I assure you, at some point in this game, Manning is going to throw a long touchdown pass. You know, Decker's going to catch some unbelievable pass, and it's gonna sting a little bit. And it's like McKay said, it's how you bounce back. It really is. You know, there's tough times, but it's how you bounce back. And so, if my advice to the players, and I guess my advice to anyone, is resilience. You know, you have it in you to go out there and play the best you can, and you have that potential in you. And it's about bringing it out and bringing it out when it really matters. And so as these players go into the game, I believe that, like I said, there will be times where, you know, that it's going to be rough. It's going to be rough. Things aren't going the right way. But if you put out resilience, you stick with your game plan, stick with your talent, you trust yourself, you go out there, you play the game, you know how to play, they'll come out with a W.
Guys, I'll pitch this to both of you. We'll start with Jake. What have you guys learned in writing this book and going out on your speaking engagements? What have you learned about people and how to best deal with adversity? And what has touched you most about meeting people and hearing their stories? Go ahead, Jake.
We know it is something that really does inspire me. You know, I go out and speak to people, write a book, inspirational book, and inspire people. And when, you know, I finish speaking and I'm meeting the audience, and they come up to me and, you know, they tell me how much my story's meant to them and how much it has inspired them. It inspires me to go out there and do, you know, just do what I do more and keep pushing. You know, we live in a world where there is a lot of hurt. And if anyone's going to say anything different, then they're telling you a lie. But, you know, I believe that God allows things to happen to people. You know, why would God allow a 12-year-old kid to go blind? I believe it happens because, you know, I think that you use your difficulties to help others. You know, it's back to Coach Carroll, loving others, helping others. And I've been able to do that with my difficulties, go out there, help others, motivate others. And so it's a really cool thing, you know. I remember it was 2010, and USC was opening up in Hawaii, and I did a sideline interview, and next day, that Sunday, I was sitting at a restaurant, and, you know, I guess it seemed like everyone on the island saw the interview. I don't know. It was pretty funny, but we're sitting and eating dinner, and this guy came up to us, and he goes, you know, I saw you yesterday. He goes, I remember the original piece that came out the year previous, and he said that he worked with high school kids that, you know, were dealing with drugs or abuse or just going through hard times, you know, large at-risk kids. And he said that this one kid who was, you know, heavily, you know, abusing drugs and really not going far in life, he said he saw my story and that he decided that he was going to turn his life around. And so he said that since it was only a year later, he said that he was turning his life around. He was getting back in high school. And then we heard from him a little later. I think it was 2 years later. But he said that he had graduated high school. He's in college getting his degree and all that stuff. So it's just stories like that. You know, you can just touch other people and use my story to inspire them. That keeps me going. And, it works both ways.
And your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree with Jake. Oh, go ahead. Yeah, I agree with Jake. We meet a lot of folks. And a lot of folks are facing hardships, whether it's in life or marriage or whatever their situation is. But I've learned this. Within every single one of us, there is a winner. There's a winner within. And when we take responsibility and take charge, follow Jake's example in that regard, things can happen for our good. When we get carsick when we're riding down the road, when we're in the car, we're sitting in the back seat, and the reason is because we're looking at the car and the back seat of the car, and it's not moving. It's moving with our eyesight, but outside things are moving different. So that motion is creating motion sickness within us. But when we're driving the car, it's a totally different situation. We're looking outside. We don't get motion sickness. And life's the same way. We have a winner within, and when we take responsibility to drive, to steer our life, in the direction that should go. Even in small ways, if we begin to act with faith and on purpose, pretty soon we find that winner within. The person who leads succeeds in life. The person who leads succeeds. And we've learned that if you can help people open their eyes a little bit and see things a little bit differently, that they do have this winner within, great things can happen.
McKay, you've done a lot of speaking and authoring of various books throughout your career, and you know, president of various companies, and you've taught at your professor at the Marriott School of Management. What fulfillment do you get from not only giving people the path to open that door and step through and become a leader, and also what have you learned from those people that has helped you not only succeed yourself, but to help others succeed?
Well, there's a long list of things that I've learned from other people. But it has been so fulfilling to interact with others and hear their stories and hear how they found the setup in their setbacks. Thank heaven that most games have a halftime, that you can go in at halftime, you can regroup, you can get your strategy, you can get things organized, you can get motivated, you can get rehydrated, and there's nothing you can do about the first half. The first half is in the books, but there is everything that we can do about the second half. And life's the same way. Whether you're Jake and age 12 and losing your sight, or whether you're age 50 and you want to put the past behind you and make a difference in your life moving forward, it's just like halftime. And we can come out of halftime, new strategy, new vision, and move forward. And I've learned from people that no matter what your age, no matter what your circumstance, that is possible.
Yes, and, you know, I definitely agree 100% on what you're saying. And, you know, there's a proverb in the Bible that says that a man without vision perishes. And, you know, listening to your story, Jake, and listening to the adversities that you have overcome, there's no doubt about it that you have a huge vision. And there's no doubt that not only are you touching people's lives currently, you will continue to touch people's lives. And McKay, Jake, you guys have real big hearts, and I, you know, I definitely appreciate you coming on and giving us this insight. And you know, I can tell you, I am definitely better for, you know, for one, not just sitting here and talking with you, but understanding who it is that you are and why it is that you do what you do. And I am in total awe and you know, totally blessed to be in your presence right now, just talking to you.
Well, thank you. It's been an honor to be on your guys' show. I'm looking for the Sunday box.
Jake, got a quick question for you. You know, it's been written out there in the media world that a certain Seattle Seahawk, number 49, long snapper Clint Gresham, has helped you a little bit in your journey becoming a long snapper, and tell us about that.
Yeah, well, Clint, actually, he's really the guy who really got me into long snapping. I remember going up there. Oh, man, the first time we went up there was the first year Coach Carroll's up there, so I was in 2010. And I remember that I was up there on the field pregame, and I was, you know, obviously with USC, I you know, Chris O'Dowd, the center, was my favorite player, so I was kind of had a soft spot for the offensive linemen. And so I was kind of hanging around them, and you know, Clinton was there. And so he started long snapping and kind of showing me how long snap. And so that's where I kind of first learned about, you know, long snapping position. Not many people, you know, you tell them about long snap, they're like, who? You're like, oh, the guy who snaps the ball to the punter and the kicker. Oh, okay. You know, they don't really get recognized until they make a mistake. But I kind of saw Clint long snap, but like I said, I really didn't think much of it until my junior year of high school this last year here, where, you know, I decided to come on my team and try the position out. And you know, I really do love it. It is a big position, you know. You think of how many games during the season that are decided upon a field goal in the, you know, last second or in overtime or whatever, and there is a lot. Even, you know, PATs, those are huge, you know. And so it is a position that is very important, and so I really love doing it just because, you know, you get to be out there every time, you know, we score, and also there's a lot of pressure to it, so.
Jake, I know you're a fan of Pete Carroll and the Seattle Seahawks, and of course they're playing in the Super Bowl here on Sunday against the Denver Broncos. Who do you think will win the game, and do you have a score prediction for us?
Well, I got Seattle winning the game. I actually got them getting a blowout, to tell you the truth. I'm actually 4-for-4 on the last Super Bowl predictions. I don't know. I don't see Denver playing a physical team and really in their season. I think Kansas City is the closest, I guess, physicality-wise. But I really don't see them playing a physical team, and I really don't think they know the type of physicality that Seattle brings or that San Francisco brings or, you know, Carolina brings, by that matter. You know, I think the NFC is a lot more physical this year. And so I see Seattle going in there. I see them really shutting down Peyton Manning. I don't think the weather's on his side. I think they shut down, you know, even if Moreno goes, I think they shut him down. I think we got the guys to cover the receivers. I'm calling a blowout 35-14.
Woo!
Man, Jake, with your knowledge and insight, you know, whenever Sean Boyd is busy and can't make it here on the show, I'll definitely have you on as a guest host anytime, buddy.
Man, just put me out of a job. That is awesome. 35-14. That's a great prediction. You're mentioning that Peyton Manning and Moreno not being able to get things going. Seattle's defense, you're believing that Seattle's defense is definitely going to go come out there and shut down Peyton Manning. Is that correct?
Yeah, you know, like I said, they faced the Chargers, you face the Patriots. They put up, 26 against the Patriots, 24 against the Chargers. I mean, those aren't big numbers, you know. Those aren't big numbers, and those aren't defensively really, really built teams like San Fran, Carolina, or Seattle. So I really think Seattle comes out there, and they put something in front of Manning that they haven't seen all year, and I don't think they know how to deal with it.
There you have it, Jake Olson with the strong prediction.
And McKay, I'm assuming you'll be watching the Super Bowl. What do you think's going to happen?
You know, I'm going to leave all those predictions up to Jake.
That might be a very wise choice, especially if you're a Seattle Seahawks fan, a member of the 12th man. Jake Olson predicting a big Seattle victory this time around in Super Bowl 48. Jake Olson, McKay Christensen, co-authors of Open Your Eyes, 10 Uncommon Lessons to Discover a Happier Life, available at openyoureyes.org. Thank you so much for your time tonight. We appreciate your story and your insight.
Yeah,
we'd love
thanks,
to have
guys.
You on in the future.
Thank you guys for having us.
Absolutely. Go Hawks from Jake Olson. McKay Christensen, thanks so much for your time tonight. Man, a couple of great guests here on the Double with the Double S Express, Sean Boyd. And we got a little bit more to get to since you're with us and talk about all the guests and great goings on, the Super Bowl coming up. And what do we got right after this, Sean Boyd?
Well, yeah, we'll continue to talk about what's going on this weekend with the Super Bowl coming up. Talk a little bit about the weather. Talk about both teams preparing. As, of course, Jake just mentioned, the weather might not be favorable for the Denver Broncos. So sit back, relax. We've got one more segment left. You're listening to On the Double with the Double S Express, brought to you by Papa John's Tri-Cities.
Who likes the inconvenience of car repairs? Not only do car repairs take time and money from you, but can you even trust your repair shop? Nate, Dave, and the team at Platinum Automotive Services in Tri-Cities, Washington are honest and trustworthy, and they take great care of your vehicle. From the basic oil change to full engine rebuilds, they do it all. Like the Platinum Automotive Services Facebook page for a shot at a free oil change. Platinum Automotive Services, platinum service without the platinum price.
What's my image?
What's my image?
What's my image?
At Images Barbershop and Styles, you get the best cut, the best design, and the best styles in the Sacramento area. Plus the affordable price, along with the fun, family-friendly atmosphere, you'll walk away with a look of satisfaction and the feeling of a new you. Do you have your image?
We have ours!
Images Barbershop and Styles, located at 10040 Bruceville Road, Elk Grove, California, Suite 140. For appointments, call 916-271-0218. That's Images Barbershop and Styles.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally and Sean Boy.
Standing in the Hall of Fame. Yeah. And the world's gonna know your name. Yeah. Cause you're better with the brightest flame.
Yeah. Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally joined by Sean Boyd. It's been a great show. We had Adrian Ross, former NFL linebacker with the Cincinnati Bengals, on as big-time guest number one, big-time guest number two, and 2A, Jake Olson and McKay Christensen, co-authors of Open Your Eyes, available at openyoureyes.org.
Yeah, so Adrian Ross on the show, and sorry I didn't get a chance to talk with him. Of course, that's my guy, Sacramento, California. Playing with the Cincinnati Bengals, of course, that's the Mad Hatter, no doubt about it. Tough linebacker back in the day, and I'm sure you had a good time interviewing him.
Oh, absolutely. He had great insight on not only his playing days, but the Super Bowl and, you know, what he expects this weekend and what he would give to play in a game with the magnitude of a Super Bowl and, you know, what advice he would give to athletes that, you know, might be playing in college and trying to figure out whether or not they have what it takes to make it to the next level and how to get there.
Yeah, and that's definitely that's the type of person that Adrian is. That's what he does. He mentors and tutors the young athletes who are looking and aspiring to get to the next level. That's one of his loves that he has and the thing that he helps out a lot of the kids in the Sacramento area for.
And of course, now currently, he's involved with 3D Sports, a sports management company, so getting on the contractual side, but still staying, keeping his hands involved with the NFL.
Exactly, and so, you know, again, you know, I'm sure he's thinking that he would love to have the Cincinnati Bengals, his beloved Cincinnati Bengals, playing in the Super Bowl. But yeah, you know, Adrian, he's definitely one of those guys that's spirited, and you can hear it in his voice when you talk to him that he's excited and he's, you know, he's willing to give, and that's what it's all about. It's just, you know, giving back and sharing some of the things that you learn so others could succeed.
And that was definitely the threshold of our big time guest number two, which was co-guests, which is perfect because they're co-authors of a book, Open Your Eyes. OpenYourEyes.org is where the book is available. Jake Olson, a 16-year-old high school student that is the long snapper for his high school football team. That in itself, a good feat,
yeah.
But he does it without eyesight, as Jake has battled cancer and lost his eyesight to it. And just an amazing story they have about how to bring out the best in people, how to get over bad circumstances and thrive in life.
You know, Jake is, you know, I can't even begin to tell you, you know, he wakes up and his adage is no fear and there is no excuses. There is definitely not an excuse for you to go out and fail. And, you know, there's no reason for you to go out and fail. Jake's long snapping for his high school team. I can tell you that if you gave me five chances to long snap to the punter, that I would probably get it to the punter maybe once. And so here Jake is. He's a long snapper for his high school team. And obviously, he's the best one because he's starting. And that's just amazing, you know, that a young man such as Jake, he doesn't, you know, it doesn't matter what, you know, the obstacle is. He's just going to go out there and get it done. And that's something that, you know, we all can learn from.
And definitely, just like we do most shows here, we have so much more to talk about with our big time guests that we need to have them on a second, a third time to get to everything we want to talk about. Because both with, you know, Adrian Ross and also Jake Olson and co-author McKay Christensen of their book, Open Your Eyes, is, you know, so much about what they're going through and how to overcome obstacles, and how McKay pointed out that everybody has obstacles. It's how you deal with them. And if you get knocked down, do you get back up? And how do you respond to all of that? And there's so much more that we could delve into that. And there's just not enough time in one show to get to everything.
You know, and I love the title of the book, Open Your Eyes, because, you know, Jake sees more things in his life, in his lifetime, in his struggles, than we who have eyesight could possibly ever see. And that title, Open Your Eyes, is fitting because there are so many of us that go through life. We don't have the vision that we should have. We don't have the drive to wake up and fight the good fight. And Open Your Eyes is perfect. You know, it's a perfect title because, you know, it means, again, no excuses, none whatsoever, to accomplish your dreams.
And I forgot to mention when Jake was on the line that, you know, to thank him for the opportunity to meet him in Seattle at Touchdown City prior to the Saints playoff game. And that, you know, he was gracious enough to sign the copy of the book that the book publicist Tiffany Sawyer was kind enough to give me and set up the interview. And so thanks to Tiffany for that. And Jake is just remarkable. And McKay has done so many great things in his life. And Adrian Ross, you know, made it to the NFL and peaked in football and is doing good things after football. And just such a positive movement of people doing good things no matter the circumstances. And that's what we like to show here on The Double.
No doubt about it. And in definite pillars in society. And we appreciate both guests for being on today.
Sean Boyd, there's a game on Sunday. I don't know if you've heard in your whirlwind of world traveling here in the last, you know, 24 hours. It'll be 36 by the time you get back to the 916 tomorrow morning. Denver, Seattle, Super Bowl 48. What's going to happen?
Wow. Well, you know, the line is showing the Denver Broncos so far. And what the line is saying is that they're leaning more towards experience. Of course, four of the players for the Denver Broncos playing in the Super Bowl have played in the Super Bowl. And of course, the Seattle Seahawks, zero of the players are coming in with that experience. But with that being said, there seems to be some type of a rally with the Seattle Seahawks as far as, you know, of course we've beat this whole Richard Sherman thing just stupid over the past week and a half. And, you know, I believe that Seattle has become stronger because of that, you know, and that's what it sounds like coming out of the camp is that, you know, it's helped them to focus. It's helped them to understand that it is us against the world. And this is something that we can accomplish. So I can imagine that their, you know, their game is fine tuned a little bit sharper. They're doing things a little more crisp. And so I'm looking at, you know, Seattle definitely closing that gap. But, you know, if you would have asked me earlier in the week, I would have said that Denver was going to take care of business just on that experience note. But, you know, we'll see going into Sunday. I believe that Seattle has a surefire chance of actually upsetting the Denver Broncos and bringing the championship to Seattle.
Well, the line started with Seattle having a 3-point advantage. Now it has gone to Denver having a 3-point advantage. So I don't know that either one is an upset since, you know, both teams are number one ranked in their conference. And then you've got the number one offense in Denver going up against the number one defense in Seattle. Sean Boyd, my question to you is, does defense win championships?
Most definitely. And I answer that quickly, and I answer that with confidence, and that's why Seattle has a strong favor in this game. If you look at the Super Bowl's past, it has been the defense, regardless of the offense, the offensive firepower that some of these teams have come in with, the defense that comes out more often than not winds up winning the championship.
And that's what is going to be settled on Sunday in MetLife Stadium, East Rutherford, New Jersey, across the Hudson River from New York City, Manhattan. And the last four times the number one offense has gone into the Super Bowl, they have come away losers. So it'll be up to Peyton Manning to figure that out as to whether it will be a fifth time in a row the number one offense leaves the Super Bowl with their tail between their legs, or if they're hoisting the Lombardi Trophy.
Yeah, you know, another big question that looms in Broncos camp is, you know, the health of Peyton Manning. So, you know, is this a game to where the team rallies and they say, hey, let's win this one because this might be Peyton's last year? You know, so let's make sure that he wins it. And then, you know, there's also, you know, the weather factors that that come into play. Peyton Manning hasn't really done too well in rough weather, and I believe the weather is looking to be in the 30s as we speak, and then as the day turns into night, dips down into the mid-20s. So that could play a factor in this weekend's ballgame.
Oh, definitely. You've got Peyton Manning actually 0-for-4 in less than 40-degree weather, and so the temperature will definitely be less than 40 on Sunday at the Super Bowl, so the odds are not in Peyton Manning's favor, not to mention his ankle issue, his neck issue. Those things are not going to get better in bitterly cold weather.
And so, you know, though, yeah, that's one of the question marks that will come out this weekend. I tend to lean a little bit more on Peyton Manning actually coming out and being a little more of a mad scientist this weekend, because it is the Super Bowl. And, you know, there are just some people that have high qualities and come in, you know, come through in the clutch. You talk about the Michael Jordans. You talk about, you know, those types of athletes, LeBron James. I believe Peyton Manning is right up there. And so I don't expect him to have a bad game, but, you know, we'll see how the rest of the team falls into place. But more often than not, when Peyton Manning has a good game, the rest of the team has a good game.
Sean, you and I worked for Fox Sports at the NFC Championship game in Seattle, 49ers at Seahawks. Did you either see firsthand or hear after the fact what the first thing Russell Wilson did after the podium, who he went up to, who he talked to postgame?
You know, I didn't get a chance. I mean, when I was down on the field, there was confetti all over the place, and I basked in the ambiance myself. And so I was trying to get over to Russell, but I didn't see what happened right afterwards.
Russell went up to Hall of Fame legendary quarterback Terry Bradshaw and asked him how to win the next game, the next game being Super Bowl 48. And Bradshaw basically said, treat it as any other game. If you get caught up in everything, you're done. If you treat it like any other week, like any other game that you've played for your entire life, you'll do fine.
And those are great words of wisdom to come by. Terry Bradshaw, of course, winning multiple Super Bowls with the Pittsburgh Steelers. And, you know, Terry was the type of player that, you know, it looked like he just went out there carefree, stuck to the game plan, and Pittsburgh Steelers offenses were always clicking, it seemed like. And so, of course, they won four Super Bowls under head coach Chuck Knoll. And, you know, again, that's great pearls of wisdom for Russell Wilson.
And, you know, Sean, we're talking about the Super Bowl. Super Bowl 48 pits the Denver Broncos and the Seattle Seahawks. And, of course, we have a good friend of the show, listens to the show a lot, Paul White. He's got some big things happening in terms of the Seahawks and the Super Bowl. Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally alongside Sean Boyd. And Sean, I know we've talked about it a lot. There's a big game in New York coming up, the Super Bowl, where the Denver Broncos get to be the home team, host the Seattle Seahawks.
Yes, and with the, you know, all of the goings on that have been going on in Seattle and what I'm talking about, of course, the whole Richard Sherman issue, all of those things aside, this is looking to be a great football game. And one of the, I'll probably go out on a limb and say probably one of the best Super Bowls that we will see ever in our lifetime.
Well, it's definitely shaping up like that. You've got the number one offense in the Broncos against the number one defense of the Seattle Seahawks, a Hall of Fame quarterback to be in Peyton Manning, and the young up-and-comer in Mr. Russell Wilson.
And not only is Russell Wilson the young up-and-comer, you're looking at a whole team in the Seattle Seahawks to where their inexperience could be a benefit for them. And the reason why I say that is what do they have to lose? I mean, you're looking at the Denver Broncos, where Peyton Manning's been there before, a couple other players have been there, and they're going to try to posture themselves as the big brother going into this thing. But what does Seattle have to lose? Just go out there and wing it and play solid football, the same type of football that they played all year long, and it could be a great surprise for the Pacific Northwest and for the NFL, for that matter.
And speaking of surprise, Sean, a good listener, good friend of the program, got that surprise today. And let's go back out to the holysmokenuts.com phone lines. We've had our big-time guests on. Now it's time for a big-time listener, Paul White in Lakewood, Washington. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, doing good, guys. I can't believe I'm on the show. It's awesome. How you guys doing?
Man, well, hey, it's great having you on the show. And, Paul, of course, there were some things that – there was something that I saw – on Facebook that really, really shocked and surprised me. And why don't you go ahead and give the listeners a shout out on what it was that you received as far as an invitation to.
I'll absolutely do that. Hey, listen, let me tell you, as a longtime season ticket holder, they do a lottery right after, like, championship game. They did this lottery. And I didn't win. I didn't think I had won. I was supposed to be notified by the Seahawks by at least by Tuesday, and didn't get anything, so I thought I lost. Well, I went to work, came back home today, get a call from the Seahawks saying, hey, we sent you an email, and we're doing a follow-up, and why haven't you called us back about you being a Seahawks winner for the Super Bowl? I fell over. I couldn't believe what I was hearing. I am a Seahawks lottery winner for the 2014 Super Bowl in New York City, MetLife Stadium, technically New Jersey. But, you know, listen, let me tell you, I just immediately called that guy back. I said, hey, those tickets are mine. I've got a deadline of 7 p.m. tomorrow to buy those tickets. I'm buying those tickets. I don't know how I'm getting there. I've got 8 days to figure it out. But you know what? It's the most amazing, truly the most amazing thing with this team that I've dealt with in, you know, the 17 years I've been a season ticket holder. Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it.
Well, man, I can tell you, Paul, that we're very excited for you, you know, the Double S Express. And you know, it's a great day for you. I mean, it couldn't happen to a better person. Of course, you put out I saw a video on Facebook, as a matter of fact, and man, you're actually vying
some of that.
You're vying for our jobs, man. You do an awesome job as far as, you know, broadcasting and painting the picture. So I got to hand that one to you. But congratulations on winning the lottery to go to the Super Bowl. I mean, this is something that it's very rare. I mean, this is one of those things. I mean, it's almost like the ping pong ball in the, you know, in the vacuum, and then your number is called. So that's incredible. I'm excited. I'm at a loss for words, as you can tell.
Hey, listen,
I don't know,
Sean,
what to
let
say.
Me tell you. Hey, Sean, if I could just take a minute, let me tell you. I was in that lottery in 2005 in our previous Super Bowl championship lottery, and I'm telling you, I really expected after, at that point in time, being a 9-10 year season ticket holder that I thought I would make it, and I didn't do it. And it just didn't happen. I was so bummed. And, you know, I guess it was Providence, you know. It was such a terrible game to go to anyway. But this is the game, you know, the first truly outdoor Super Bowl. And, you know, against Peyton Manning and what he's done this year, wow. And truly, I didn't think I was going to make it. And I've got it. And, you know, what an opportunity. And I'm gonna take it.
Paul White joining us on the Double with the Double S Express, a big fan of the show. And Paul has won a season ticket lottery to have the chance to purchase tickets to the Super Bowl. And he has two waiting for them for him. And he'll try to pick those up and pay for those. And then the obstacle is getting to New York on a plane, on a train, in a car, trains, planes, and automobiles, and then, of course, a place to stay. So there's some hurdles to get over, but, Paul, where there's a will, there's a way.
There's always a will, and there's always a way. You just got to figure it out. I've got some time, and I've got some options. You know what? You know, the first hurdle has already happened. I've got the tickets. Now just to kind of figure out how to get there. And there's always a way. Always a way. And we'll just deal with it as each step comes.
Well, Paul, we'll definitely keep in touch with you. And if you do make it out there, we'll have to have you on the show February 3rd, the day after the Super Bowl, check on your reaction and your experience if you do make it back to New York.
Well, you know, hey, Sean, I have a question. I want to know who are you thinking of bringing here? I mean, obviously you got two tickets. What's going on? What's the idea? What's the plan of attack?
Hey, Mr. Boyd, thank you for asking that question. What an amazing question to ask, because I tell you, you know, being a longtime season ticket holder for the Hawks, many, many times with my brother or my father, it's always been, well, what if the Seahawks ever make it? You know, what if they ever make it? Well, I'll take you. I'll take you. Well, you know, that day is upon us, and now it's a flip of the coin, and who can go? And who knows? I'm telling you, I've been on the phone with both my family members, and we'll have to see what's up. But, you know, when we made that pact, 15, 20 years ago when I first, got involved, with the season tickets, my brother was just a single guy, but he's a family man now. You know, yeah, not so easy just to say, hey, dude, you're going to leave your wife and kids for 3 days and spend $2,000 and go.
Yeah, so things have changed a little bit, and sure. Yeah, but still, I mean, this is something that I'm sure he would be able to run this by his wife and or his family and make a way. But this is exciting, man. Definitely, we're so excited. And when I talked with Sean Wally about this, I said, man, we have to get Paul on and so that you can share this awesome story going to the Super Bowl. And, you know, as a matter of fact, Sean and I had talked with, you know, if you need some ideas, there's a couple of people that we talked to at the game that are trying to get to the Super Bowl that you might be able to go in on. And so we'll definitely talk about that off the air.
But hey, well, listen, we can definitely do that. I tell you, talking to my brother, you know, he's trying to, you know, fight for this opportunity. My dad's kind of there as well. It's just, you know, things got to happen fast right now. And, you know, it's not a whole lot of time to talk and discuss a lot of stuff. You got to make decisions. And, I'd be very much interested to any kind of opportunities or chances, you know, that you and Sean and some of your guys, we can talk about some stuff. Appreciate that.
Well, sure, you have 8 days left. And, Paul, well, thanks for joining us and coming on the air here and letting us know. And, again, congratulations to you on winning this lottery, my friend.
It's you know what? It's absolutely an amazing opportunity. And, you know, hey, listen, it's been 37 years since the Hawks started. And in 2005, I thought that was it. But here it is just 8 years later, and now we've got another chance. And, you know, I don't want to say it's it this time because I think we've got a dynasty set up here. But what an opportunity it would be to go to this game.
Well, yeah, well, definitely. Well, Paul, again, thanks for being on the show, man, and thanks for being an avid listener, and we'll talk to you soon, man.
Hey, fellas, you know what? Love your show. Love you guys, and, you know, what you guys are doing is awesome, and you guys got real talent. So we'll talk soon.
Thanks a lot, Paul. Congratulations on the ticket lottery, and hope you can make it to New York.
Thank you. I hope so, too. Bye-bye.
That is Paul White, kind enough to join us on the double with the Double S Express. Lottery ticket winner, two tickets to the Super Bowl, Sean Wally. What a great, great feat for him.
Absolutely. I mean, could you imagine getting that call if it were your favorite team being the Raiders and somebody picked up the phone, called you and said, hey, guess what? I'm with the Raiders. Two tickets here for you. All you got to do is pay me $1,600 and they're yours.
Oh, man. I would definitely come up with some ways and try to get to the Super Bowl, man, which I know Paul is going to do, and definitely happy for him. So when we come back, we're going to talk more sports talk. Cool things like this happening in the NFL and for the Seattle Seahawks fans. Man, there's no better place to be than the Pacific Northwest. You're listening to the best sports talk on the double, brought to you by Papa John's Tri-City.
That's the voice of Sean Boyd. I am Sean Wally. This is On the Double with the Double S Express, show 37. And Sean Boyd, I'm going to get up on out of here after I say a big time thank you to our big time guests, Adrian Ross, Jake Olson, and McKay Christensen. Adrian Ross, former NFL linebacker for the Cincinnati Bengals, residing in the 916, went to Elk Grove High School, now lives in North Sacramento. And of course, Jake Olson and McKay Christensen have co-authored a book, Open Your Eyes, and it is available at openyoureyes.org. I will talk to you next week. Sean Boyd from Miami, take us out as only you can from Miami.
Well, it's been a warm day today, and of course I've been on the go, got to catch a red-eye flight in the morning, Mr. Wally. So I'll be back in Northern California first thing in the morning. But before I do, remember, always look forward, always do your best, and listen to the Double S Express. We'll talk to you next week. Take care.
Thanks for listening to On the Double, the Double S Express. Join us next Monday for great sports talk and big time guests. On the Double, the Double S Express.
Yeah, you can be the greatest, you can be the best. You can be the King Kong banging on your chest.
You can beat the world, you can beat the war. You can talk the guy, go banging on his door.
You can throw your hands up, you can beat the